What's up, Main Streeters? This is the Main Street Insiders podcast, where we discuss personal finance, economics, and investing for the America First crowd. Together, we can learn to live more, spend less, and own our future. Let's roll.
What's up, Main Streeters? I am Jeff Perlot.
And I am Luke Perlot. Today, we'll hear my interview with Dave Bratt. Dave is a former U.S. representative from Virginia's 3rd District. Prior to serving in Congress, Dave enjoyed an illustrious career as an economics expert. He received his Master's of Divinity from Princeton Theological Seminary in 1990 and his PhD in economics from American University in 1995. And he taught economics and ethics at Randolph-Macon College from 1996 to 2013. And he's now the Dean of the Business School at Liberty University, in addition to being a frequent guest on Bannon's War Room. In just a moment, you'll hear Dave's predictions for inflation, the stock market, and the recession. Now, when I interviewed Dave in early July, inflation was still increasing, interest rates were lower, and a recession seemed less certain. So when you hear his predictions, many of which are turning out to be true, remember that Dave was ahead of the curve.
Dave will also dive into philosophy and even religion to explain why it's so important to decentralize power and ownership in our economy. Finally, Dave will talk about why it's so important for Main Streeters to get our heads out of the sand and start paying attention to the big picture issues in our country.
Before we dive in, we want to let everyone know that you can head to MainStreetInsiders.com to receive our multi-part guide to America First economic principles, including decentralized power, which we'll hear about in just a moment. And with that, here's my interview with Dave Bratt.
Purple mountains greet the morn, blue skies and open oceans. All your dreams and hopes are within reach. This is life on Main Street.
Thanks again for meeting with us, Dave. First question is, why is it important for Main Streeters to pay attention to bigger picture issues in the economic and financial worlds?
Yeah, well, that question is very timely right now. And paying attention, not just to economics, but to the very foundations of Western civ. They unfolded in a particular order, right? The Judeo-Christian tradition started with Abraham, who was called out of the middle of nowhere. God called him to a new land, and he said, I'll bless you. I'll bless all nations through you. The Jewish people followed God or didn't follow God, and the Hebrew scripture is that story. And then Jesus, the whole calendar starts at zero, which a lot of people don't even know that right now, right? And then you make your way through the early church and the creeds. Then you get the Protestant Reformation, the Enlightenment. Our founders come out of that. James Madison went to Princeton Seminary. Adam Smith, a Scottish Calvinist, gave us the free market system. Our U.S. Constitution, right? Madison wrote was the main hand in writing that document, which separated powers, and that's one of the greatest things people are not aware of. Is most all philosophers in the history of thought had a fairly negative view of human nature. Main Streeters, the K-12 education system isn't providing that information anymore. All the greats, not even the Christians. I mean, Aristotle, Plato, everybody, Hume, Locke, all the architects in Western civ, St. Augustine, St. Aquinas in the Catholic tradition, they all knew this, right? And so now what are we doing that, you know, gets us up to this current economic debacle. We've got oligarchs on our side running the whole economy, right? Five oligarchs that run the big tech firms. Their market cap is worth more than all European firms combined. Our five firms, our big five tech firms, market cap is also bigger than all of China combined. So that's where the power is right now. People are not aware of this, right? And that's a great contrast with the history of thought I just laid out, where you're supposed to separate power and the states should be 50 laboratories of experiments, etc. Now everything's going to DC. So the Federal Reserve has an inflation nightmare on its hands because they didn't handle that properly. That of course is Milton Friedman and John Taylor now at Stanford University is the greatest monetary theorist right now. Go look them up, right? John Taylor, every name, I hope the young people out there, I hope will go YouTube these people. Milton Friedman is University of Chicago, greatest economist of the last century. John Taylor followed him, Nobel, Milton Friedman won the Nobel Prize for monetary theory, and that John Taylor has the Taylor rule named after him, which would have given us good guidance. If we would have followed it, we would not have inflation right now. And so now the inflation is so out of control, right? It's up approaching 9%. The Fed's got to try to slow things down, and that's probably going to bring us into a recession and pop what is now called the everything bubble, right? Back in 07, 08, we had a financial crisis that was led by just the real estate sector. Now we've got the real estate sector and the entire bond market, the entire stock market, all commodities. And that's why it's called the everything bubble. And if that puppy pops, we're going to be fishing under the under a bridge with Frodo, right, from The Hobbit. We'll be back to the Stone Ages. And so it's about time the American people started voting for people who have the first principles correct when it comes to God and country and Constitution and economics. That old system is not outdated. That old system produced world stability, right? There's no utopia here on Earth that you're ever going to find, but it produced relative stability and peace for the last 60, 70 years. That's coming to an end right now. China's encroaching. And I can go on more and more on China or any other topics you want. But that lays a little of the way I think about the connection of all these issues and what people need to be looking at and reading.
You mentioned inflation, and we've been hearing a lot in the news about inflation. It's one of the hot topics right now. And I was wondering if you could just explain, you know, how did we get here to 9% inflation?
Yep. So the go to Taylor, John Taylor, he's got a YouTube out about 6 months ago. He'll explain in detail what I'm going to explain. But how we got here is the Fed for the last 20 years has done what's called the Greenspan put. And that means if Wall Street ever gets in trouble and the big banks ever get in trouble, the Fed has let it be known that they will bail them out at the end of the day if there's a catastrophic failure. So 2004, 2005, they printed too much money, which led to the real estate crash of 2007, 2008. And sure enough, the Fed came in, massive bailouts, and bailed out the too big to fails, the big banks, right? You on Main Street, you Main Streeters don't have anybody to bail you out. So that's a neat perk, right? If you've got billions of dollars and you're an oligarch and you've got lobbyists you can hire for, you know, $1 million, but they get you $1 billion worth of benefit, I'd hire a lobbyist too. And I was in Congress, right? So I'm a former congressman. I was up in the middle of all that. And that really is the way it works. And so now you would think the Fed would have learned its lesson, but they didn't. For the last year, well, let me go back even further. For the past 40 years, the Federal Reserve has a steadily declining real interest rate for 40 years. If you go out to FRED, which is the database for the Federal Reserve, you can see that one. And then for the past 10 years, we've had a zero interest rate policy, meaning the federal funds rate, which is the Federal Reserve's target interest rate they set. And so that's been hugely stimulative. They have $9 trillion on their balance sheet, which is hugely stimulative, which means it heats up the economy. Why do you need to heat up the economy? Because the underlying economy is so weak. And then on top of the $9 trillion from the Federal Reserve Bank, we have $30 trillion in debt from the U.S. government. Well, that thing's been hidden. Why has that been hidden? Because when you have 0% interest rates, it doesn't look that painful. You have $30 trillion in debt, but you're not paying interest payments because the Fed set interest rates at zero to hide us from the pain of that debt. Well, now say interest rates go up to 5%. Let's just say 10%, just so you can do math easier. What's 10% of $30 trillion? $3 trillion in interest payments per year on your debt. Just so you know, that $3 trillion, that's the size of the entire federal government budget, right? And then they had another trillion on a deficit spending. So it's actually $4 trillion. So they've cloaked the pain. Now you get inflation and interest rates are going up. And now the American people are going to see, right? Some of us have been yelling about debt forever, right? For 10, 20 years. When I went to Congress, I was a one-trick pony. I talked about the debt and unfunded liabilities all over the place. People are like, Brad, man, what's he's negative. I want to hear positive stuff. I want Santa Claus. Well, Santa Claus just put you into a ditch And he's put your generation in particular in a ditch. The real economy, it's going to take 10 to 20 years to bail us out of this mess. And the easiest way to picture that, I'm not exaggerating that, is to look at K to 12 education, right? Education is called human capital. And human capital is responsible for about 30% of economic growth. Well, ask yourself, how well equipped, how good a job is K to 12 education doing at educating all our kids across the whole country into technical education, economic education, financial education, accounting information, et cetera, so that they're ready to join the workforce? And unfortunately, the answer to that is laughable. It's a total train wreck. And then if you throw in the other guy you should all go Google is Robert Gordon. He's the best economist in the world on productivity at Northwestern University. And he goes into detail. You can go YouTube him, Robert Gordon, Northwestern. And he's saying total factor productivity growth is at zero. Well, why does that matter? Because total factor productivity growth is the thing that makes, it's the only variable that causes long run economic growth. So if you add capital to an economy, it'll grow, but at a decreasing rate, right? It'll fade out over time. Total factor productivity jacks the whole curve up, right? It's the ideas, innovation, creativity, et cetera. And again, that's Nobel Prize winning economic stuff out of the Solow model from 1957 up to this day. Greg Mankiw at Harvard is the top guy in economic growth right now. And so this is just the basics, right? I'm just scratching the surface, but we got a total system failure. The inflation right now is actually going to showcase the failure, which is a good thing. And then we'll see if we have any common sense politicians to help put us on the right path, whether they have the courage to do that, because it's going to involve saying, hey, you Main Street people, hey, Main Streeters, you ready to eat your spinach yet? You want to get strong? Right. Then you got to work and you got to eat your spinach now. No more sugar highs. Right. And the American people have that question posed to them daily now. Will they do the tough thing or will they wimp out and do the easy thing?
So what can Main Streeters do to fix the lack of quality education?
Yeah, well, that one's easier, thank goodness, right? The education is at the local level and your local school board. A lot of moms got upset last year in Virginia enough to have a mini revolution at the ballot box on values issues, this grooming of kids and all this over-sexualization going on in the youngest grades, K to five, just absurd, right? They're not teaching reading and writing and arithmetic. They're teaching all this crazy social policy. So the parents got involved and they flipped school boards. And so that one is very doable. And then you need to put the spinach in the curriculum, right? You say, hey, you want your kids to do well? Well, look what China and India are doing. Right. They're doing heavy duty mathematics, heavy duty information technology, database stuff, data analytics stuff, and writing, reading, comprehension, critical thinking for real. Right. Old Socrates, the Greeks. Right. Get him back into curriculum instead of all this social nonsense.
Gotcha. So we'll pivot back to then to economics for Good. Kind of a different style question with the Fed raising rates. Fastest pace since the 1980s.
Yeah.
Do you think that they'll be successful in taming inflation?
No. The Taylor rule, if you follow the math of the Taylor rule, the federal funds rate right now should be 8%. It's 1.5%. And they're going to raise it 0.75, right? So you're way behind, right? Way, and the famous phrase on inflation is once you let the horse out of the barn, right? Once you let inflation run, good luck, right? It's off galloping. Right. And so to correct, they're going to need to go way heavier. And the heavier that if you can't go to the Taylor rule right away, if you did 8%, we'd go into a depression, not a recession. Right. It'd be a catastrophic fail. So the real failure is they didn't catch this early. Right. A year or two ago, they should not have been injecting all this liquidity. And so, yeah, the 0.75 at a minimum, they need to forward message that that's coming more and more and more every 2 weeks. And, you know, what they're scared of course, is if you announce that, you're going to pop the everything bubble, right? Because everybody is levered up. They have too much leverage and too much debt in the real estate market. The real estate market is coming unhinged again, right? You can go read all the Morgan Stanley's and Bank of America commentary on the real estate market. And those guys are way behind too, right? We're all to blame. These big Fortune 500 banks and all the financial planners, they're always cheerleading. They got the pom-poms out. Hey, buy the dip. Buy. Not this time. Now the truth tellers are going to be sorted out, right? Because we got some long, painful periods ahead of time.
Yeah, it seems like all the economists are predicting recession now. I think the big question is just how deep and how long will it be?
Shocker. All the economists, right? Once you're in a recession, they call a recession, right? I mean, I've been on tape for 2 years saying it's obvious what's going to happen. It's a disaster, right? So go back and your financial planner, if they've been selling you Kool-Aid for the last year or two, probably time to find another kingdom advisor and a Christian advisor who tells the truth and get someone who helps you shape your money into your retirement account into firms that share the same values you do. Or patriotic firms. We got Kevin Freeman working with Liberty. Right now, your pension funds, California Retirement Fund, is invested in Chinese weapon systems aimed at us. True statement. Not exaggerating. Right?
Right.
So if you like investing in your archenemy who's aiming weapon systems at us right now, you keep doing that. It won't go too good for the country.
How bad do you think the recession will be?
It used to be mild. Now it's not mild. Now we're medium to serious. It's going to be pretty bad. All the signs are going. The Americans, the savings rate, if you go look at Fred, that database, go Google U.S. savings rate at the Federal Reserve, Fred, their database, savings rate went straight up through the roof when we were sending checks out. Now the savings rate's way down to lows of the past decade or two. And Americans are getting levered up and going into debt again, credit again. And then as you go into the recession, people are going to be laying off, right? Some of the big firms, the big tech firms have lost 30, 40, 50%. Amazon, Google's, even Tesla, huge losses doing layoffs. And so then you're laying off people that are in debt, and it's just the beginning of that cycle, right? It's not good.
And cryptocurrency has lost like $2 trillion in market cap in the recent, you know, downturn.
Yep.
Do you think that's going to have a big effect?
Not on the macro economy. And I'm not an expert in that field. I was optimistic about the decentralizing of power of crypto. I really like that, right? That you can use blockchain to keep people from identifying who you are, and you've got some degree of independence from the big federal government databases that want to track everything these days. So that was a good part. And then, you know, money has three features to it, and the blockchain captured about two of those features, maybe not all three. And so that was part of the debate. And then it also became an investment vehicle. And so I leave that up to you all out there. I'm a free market guy. And so do your homework and you make your own bets. I'm not picking one side or the other on that one.
And on that note, you know, there's the stock market's taking a big dip. A lot of people are freaking out about the stock market crash. Do you think we've hit the bottom or do you think we have a lot further to go?
No, I think we got further to go. If you look at Case Shiller, go look at Shiller. Google him on the last free fall. And then the PE ratio, we're still way above the long run historic price to earnings ratio, right? And that shows your stocks are still overvalued. And then the bond market's a nightmare. Once you have inflation, the bond market, you know, I mean, you're just signing up for guaranteed losses. And so that's tricky, right? And so, I think the stock market's still got a few more percent at a minimum to go down, but we'll see if I'm right.
And then Kevin O'Leary, the Shark Tank investor, he says when there's a recession, he looks for a major institution to crash. And only after that's happened, then you can start to say we might have hit the bottom. What do you think that institution could be? Or do you think it's everything, the everything bubble and everything's going to crash?
Right. Probably going to be the shadow banking again, and some of the big banks who got levered up too much, and some of the hedge funds that got way too aggressive in their betting. There'll be more than one institution that goes down in this thing. I expect multiple, and maybe even multiple sectors that just get hit terribly. So yeah, there's going to be plenty of damage. No one's happy about that business.
Yeah. A lot of bad news for Main Street.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What should Main Streeters do to navigate all this economic hardship?
They need to take charge of their lives again, both individually and collectively at the local level, the state level, and the federal level, right? Our founders did a lot of hard work, investing, working. They worked two or three jobs so the kids could go to college. Now the kids aren't even thankful, right? They go to college and I want a sports car on top of it. Man, dad, mom, you're a bummer, right? We need to get serious again as a culture, right? And everybody, the kids, the middle-aged, the seniors lived hard lives, worked hard. Sorry, we need you all taking charge of your politics, the economy, your financial life, your church life. There's just crazy stuff going on out there right now. It's easy to call, right? It's not hard right now. You don't need to be a genius to make the call anymore, right? Some of the crazy stuff that's going on in the church or your local government is just bizarre. And the golden test, if it's economics or your church, whatever, just go 30 years ago, right? Like Milton Friedman, right? 40 years ago, undisputed University of Chicago economist. That's before the politics got crazy, right? So just go back to the church leaders 40 years ago, see what they were saying back when they had courage and they were normal. Go back to the economists 40 years ago. That's when they were normal. And you'll find the truth then. Right now, the left has scared the living daylights out of people. And so everybody at home needs to get some courage going, get a backbone, and take back the country with all the principles that have served us so well over time. And that's why I started laying out the Judeo-Christian tradition that gave us the rule of law and the Constitution. And then once you've got that in place, then you're lucky you get Adam Smith and you get to be rich on top of it all. So we've been blessed by God, but God will let his chosen people go in the desert for 400 years if they turn their back. And so we'll see if we go in the desert, if we come back, turn around toward God.
If Main Streeters could take away, and you kind of covered it, but if Main Streeters could take away one practical thing from this podcast, just to live a freer and fuller life, what would it be?
Freer and fuller, there ain't no freedom that's free, right? So work across the board. Motivate everybody, tell your neighbor, you need a message. I think that's probably the most important thing. It's don't just be solitary. You need to get out and message like what you're doing here with the podcast and shows. All the young people know what to do, right? But instead of showing off their $1,000 watches and purses and Nike tennis shoes that cost $400 and blah, blah, right? We've lost our marbles, right? It's okay to have Nikes or a purse or what, right? Go out for a nice meal. But we've lost our marbles with what we're focusing on. And so we mostly need a revolution out of your generation, right? And so I applaud you for getting the Main Streeters back into gear. But your generation is going to get pummeled if you don't wake up, right? Our generation took full advantage of you and put you into debt and is leaving with you with institutions that are broke, right? From the CIA to the FBI to the Justice Department to the Federal Reserve System to the State Department, across to K-12 education, you name it. We left you a junk pile. Sorry, right? If that doesn't motivate your generation, nothing will.
Yeah, Steve Bannon thinks that my generation is going to have to be, you know, the new greatest generation, the hero generation. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. He worked at Goldman Sachs. He was in the White House, right hand of the president. He knows how things work, and he's telling it like it is.
Yeah, and people got to go to Liberty.
Yes, and Liberty. Yeah, very good. There you go. Right, bring your high school students over to Liberty. I'm on the third floor, and I got an open door policy. Bring them up. I want to say hi to them, welcome them, and give us the best of the best this country has to offer.
Will do. And then last question, where can people reach you online?
Rumble, if you want to see all my economic stuff I've been saying lately. And I go into a little more detail than what I did today, but the basics were all here.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for meeting with us, Dave.
You bet. Anytime. Thanks for having me. Thanks for taking care of Main Street. Keep it up.
And that's how it went down. I love how he pointed out that most philosophers over the course of history have had a negative view of human nature. So that means that they believe that people are inherently flawed. Power corrupts. And when you mix human nature with too much power, you get authoritarian leaders. That's why everyone gets only one vote, no matter who you are. And that's why it's one of the core principles of the America First economy is decentralized ownership. When we all have the chance to own assets, which are a piece of the economy, we are all more free.
So while we're not allowed to legally give investment advice, and neither is Dave, we can share general investment ideas. So in 2008, the housing bubble burst, bringing the rest of the global economy down with it. Dave believes that our economy is now in an everything bubble, not just a housing bubble, but stocks, real estate, commodities, everything's inflated. And he believes the Fed will have to pop the everything bubble to bring inflation down. So since this interview in early July, the stock market has rallied a little bit, and time will tell whether Dave's prediction ends up being correct. But if the everything bubble does pop, it could bring the economy into a deep recession. So we should start preparing now. You can go to mainstreetinsiders.com/newsletter to find our article called "To Weather the Recession, Think Like a Business." As a longtime leader in academia, Dave knows the importance of getting educated. In episode 6, Choosing Freedom and Picking Sides, we explained why naively choosing to focus only on yourself and your own life, it's really not an option anymore. You have to understand the bigger picture issues if you want to successfully navigate them on a personal level. And now that you're becoming an expert in this, please pass it along. Share what you've learned with your friends, and let's all do this together.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Thanks for joining us on Main Street Insiders. It would mean a lot to us if you subscribe and share this podcast so that more Main Streeters can discover how to live more, spend less, and own their future. Visit MainStreetInsiders.com to receive our free weekly newsletter, get show notes, and download our guide to the top four principles of a healthy and vibrant America First economy. Until next time, God bless, and God bless America.